We sang that song there a moment ago, and it fits well with this psalm, Psalm 84. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. And we've mentioned this on more than one occasion, but of course you remember Korah was one of those whom the Lord calls the earth to open up and swallow him up. But he didn't slay all the sons of Korah, but he left some, and several of the psalms are addressed to them. And the Lord's judgments are sure and swift, but his mercy is everlasting. And you know, that's a glorious thing when we consider that it has pleased the Lord to manifest his mercy to the men of the earth. Now his judgments are sure. And let no man think that God shall be anything less than just. He will not at all acquit the wicked. He will by no means clear the guilty. He has plainly set that forth in the scriptures. And life would be a pretty miserable existence if that's the only thing we knew about him. But in his kindness and his mercy, he has manifested his determination to show mercy to the sons of men. And he has sent forth his son into the world to die for sinners. And what a glorious privilege we have to see that and to be able to declare it to the sons of men. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Now we don't use that word amiable that much, but it means how kind, how wonderful, how beautiful are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. How beautiful are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. You know, only the Lord can give a man a love for the dwelling place of God. Now we know that the Lord dwells not in temples made with hands. He never has, and he never will. But it has pleased the Lord to give men the blessing to build tabernacles and temples in times past. Now, he had a reason for all these things, and he would show the temporary nature of all things that men have. But he has also given, in the present time, the gathering of the saints, which is the dwelling place of the Lord. The Lord's pleased to dwell among his people, where he inhabiteth the praises of his people. And the blessing of God's people is to be able to gather together and come together in one heart, one accord. And the Lord said that where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Now, that's a very important thing. He didn't say, y'all just get together when you get ready. But he said, when you're gathered together in my name, that is when I have authorized you to come together, when I have called you together, when you have been given a desire to come together to worship me, he says, I will be in your midst. Because the only way that men will truly desire to worship him is when he calls them together. Now, there are multitudes that gather together because they do so out of habit, out of sense of duty, or they were raised that way, you know, it's just kind of in their mind, well, we ought to go to church. And I'm certainly not against anybody, coming to church for whatever reason you come. I mean, I wouldn't ever turn anybody away. But the gathering together of God's people is, as Brother Al was talking about this morning, a free will offering. It is that which we come together because we desire to. Amen. Now, a man can't desire that unless the Lord gives it to him. You can't desire anything that the Lord doesn't cause you to desire. You can't, men think they can just do anything they want to, but you can't do anything that you don't want to do. You might think you can, but you can't. I mean, you know, you think about that enough. Everything that you ever do in your life, you do because you choose to do it. Thanks be unto God that He is the one who moves us to choose Him, to walk in His ways, to desire those things. And so this morning, if we're here and we desire to be in the presence of the Lord, there's only one way that could have occurred. You could not have caused that to occur in yourself. Now, you can be here because somebody made you come here. I used to make my children come to the meeting. I mean, I didn't give them a choice. If they was going to live in my house, they was going to be here. And, some of them, when they got old enough, they were no longer under my roof, they didn't come anymore. They didn't want to. But thanks be unto God, by the grace of God, some of them desired to be among the people of God. And I couldn't cause that to happen, and I couldn't prevent it from happening. But I rejoice to know that the Lord, in His grace and in His mercy, He does presently cause His people to desire to come together to worship Him. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, the place where the Lord is. Now, I want to come here. I like every one of y'all. I love you with a pure heart. But my chief desire in coming together with the brethren is that the Lord will be here.
That's right.
Because you see, that's what makes the sweetness, as we sang in that song there a moment ago, that's what makes the sweetness of a meeting. It's not how peppy the songs were, or how good the preacher was, or any of those things. It's because the Lord is pleased to meet with His people. And that's what we desire by the grace of God. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Oh, what a wondrous longing. Now, I believe, as we have said from the beginning, as we began studying the Psalms, that the Psalms are the expressions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone could know and understand the sweetness of the presence of His Father's, of meeting with His Father. As He spent many hours upon the mountainside, sometimes all night in prayer. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He says, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even above thine altars. Now, we know that, at the tabernacle, and of course the temple in later times, they were pretty large structures, and no doubt, the writer of the psalm here had seen a sparrow or something. A little bird go up and lodge up in the upper parts of that. And he thought to himself, you know, even the sparrow has come into the presence of the Lord. You know, he longed for that. He longed to be as that little bird that could just fly up any time he got ready. Now, you see, that's one of the things that we learn as we grow in grace, is that the Lord is not as the idols of the heathen. In other words, the heathen, they built their temples and they set up their idols, and they could always go down there, and they knew one thing was for certain, that the idol was going to be right there where they put him, because that's where they put him. Now, a lot of people, you know, they have an idol for a god at the present time. And they say, well, you know, the Lord, he's always going to be down there at the meeting house, so we'll just go down there when we get ready. If we don't feel like going, we won't, but we know he'll be down there when we go next time. You see, they have no feet. They have no hands. They have no eyes. They have no mouths. They speak not, but our God's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And so he's not always where you think he's going to be. He's not always where you want him to be, because sometimes he hides his face. And you know, if you read the book of the Song of Solomon, you see that. Because there's times when the bride is longing for the bridegroom, but then she can't find him. And she says, oh, where's my beloved? And so this is the same expression here as the Lord uses this illustration of this sparrow, swallow, insignificant little bird. The Lord said, as Brother Al brought this out this morning, you know, the sparrows, they're of very little worth in the creation. But the Lord said, but not one of them falls to the ground without me. And so even the insignificant creatures, how much more those men and women who are the apple of his eye, those whom he loves with an everlasting love, how much of more value to him are they? Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising. Now that, you know, that you can't keep God's people from praising him. The Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, you know, if you should keep these from praising me, he said, the Lord will raise up the stones to praise him. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the kingdom of God. The Lord will cause his people to rejoice in him, and nothing can prevent that. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them. That is, the law of God's written in his heart. You know, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, what causes a man to hide the word of God in his heart? Now, some people think, they say, well, I'm going to memorize the scriptures. But I'll be hiding the Word of God in my heart. No, memorizing the Scriptures is not hiding the Word of God in your heart. I think you should memorize Scripture. I mean, if this book's precious to you, you ought to know some of it at least. Without having to open it up, you ought to know some of the things that's in there. But memorizing Scripture is not important, but when the Lord is pleased to cause a man to hide the Word of God in his heart, you see, that is that hedge against the darkness that comes to us, the whispering of our flesh to us that constantly would have us to turn aside and not walk with the Lord. I mean, our flesh is not our friend. Now, it appears to be our friend from time to time, and it would have us to think that it's our friend, but our flesh would turn us aside from the Word of God. Oh, that the Lord might hide his Word in our heart, that we might be able to see it and understand it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of the Lord, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh a well, the rain also filleth the pools. Now, this is a pretty commonly quoted passage of Scripture, passing through the Valley of Baca. Valley of Baca, the word that comes from Bochim, which means weeping. So it's the Valley of Weeping is what he's saying here. Blessed, he said, is the man whose strength is in thee, who passing through the Valley of Baca maketh a well, the rain also filleth the pools. That is, his weeping is such that it just becomes, the pools are there. But I think there's something else here. And I think this is actually what the gist of the thing is. While it is true that he's describing the weeping of the man, he says here, who passing through the Valley of Baca make it a well. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. When we pass through the Valley of Baca, you see, if the Lord is with us, it's not the weeping that's important. Because weeping is, as long as we live in this world, there's going to be weeping. But weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You see, the people of God are not concerned with just weeping. I mean, that's not our goal. Our goal is not to just be sad and to be mourning. That's not it. But they go from strength to strength, who passing through the Valley of Baca. See, we don't stay in the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca is not a destination. It's not a vacation spot. It's not a spot we desire. But passing through the Valley of Baca, it's just a place we've got to go through to get where we want to go. But we go from strength to strength, because every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You see, the Lord brings men through the Valley of Baca, but he doesn't do it just to cause them to be sad. He does it to bring them to the place of true joy, that they might behold the Lord and know the way of the Lord. They go from strength to strength. Now, you know, the Lord, he went through the Valley of Baca when he walked in this world. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But you know, the Scripture describes why he did that. He didn't go through the Valley of Baca because he enjoyed being in the Valley of Baca. He didn't enjoy the sorrows and the struggles that he had, but rather he desired to be in the presence of God. And the Scripture says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. See, the shame wasn't the thing that he gloried in, but the shame was necessary for him to be brought to that place where he might have joy. For he shall look on the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. See, the Lord is pleased with that which he came to do, even though he went through the Valley of Baca. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. And who would we desire to call upon but the Lord? Who's going to hear us? I mean, you know, a lot of people have their confidence in a lot of things. Some people are all worried about this coming election and all of the things that's transpiring in the world. But God's people, our concern is not with those things, because you see, we know who it is that knows the end from the beginning.
That's right.
We know the one who turns the heart of the king whithersoever he wills. We know the one who puts down kings and raises up others. And so all of these things are in his hand. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And who is the anointed of the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. And this is his prayer. And he says, O Lord, smile upon me. Now if he, being the anointed of the Lord, desired as a man, desired the presence of God, how much more so than we who are so far from the presence of God, how much greater should be our longing after him. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord, he said, than anywhere else. One day. Just give me one day in the house of the Lord. It's better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What that word doorkeeper there literally means threshold. He said, I'd rather be at the threshold of the door of the house of God than I had to be anywhere else. I'd rather be than to dwell in the tents of wickedness for sure. Because the tents of wickedness, where does a man have to go to see wickedness? Or does he need to go down to the bar room? Or does he need to go somewhere else? That's exactly right. All he's got to do is get up and go look in the mirror. You know? And he'll see the place of wickedness, which is in these old sinful hearts. And we would turn aside from the way of God apart from His grace and His mercy and His kindness. And he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Rather be at the threshold of God's house. Just not even inside, but just right there waiting. I'd rather be there than to dwell in a great dwelling place where the Lord is not. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. It's important that you don't get the cart ahead of the horse. Now some people think that if they walk uprightly, then the Lord will bless them. I mean, that's pretty much the natural thinking of men. You know, if you do good, God will bless you. If you do bad, He won't. But the fact of the matter is, the blessing of God is that He causes His people to walk in an upright fashion. Because you're not going to walk uprightly if the Lord doesn't move in you to do so. To subdue your natural way. The Lord will give grace and glory. He does do that. See, He gives men grace. How do we know that? We know that the Lord gives men grace because men believe. Some men believe. Some men rejoice. Some men give glory to God. Why do they do that? Because of the grace of God. He will give grace and glory. He does. He said, I will call my people from afar. He said, I will write my laws in their heart. I will bring the blind by a way which they knew not. Because He does give grace and glory. What a wondrous God He is, full of mercy and kindness to all that call upon His name. That's what He says. He will withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly because they are those people who are precious to Him. And He will give them the blessings of heaven. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Happy is that man. You know, There's no place on earth that is more blessed than to be brought to a place to trust the Lord. Amen. Blessed. Happy is that man that trusteth in Thee. Now he's not happy. He doesn't become happy because he trusts the Lord. But the Lord causes him to trust Him. And in that trust, he has happiness because he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Oh, what a wondrous God we have who's full of mercy and kindness. And He daily loadeth us with benefits that we cannot imagine. And we can't begin to number them. But we can see the hand of the Lord. Because any time that we have a thought or desire wherein to worship the King of Kings, we can lift up our hands and praise Him because He is the one that brought those things in our heart and our mind. Oh, that the Lord might give us a heart and mind to praise Him. He's worthy of all praise.